Blog Talk Radio.
The First Epistle General of Peter. 1 Peter 1.
Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you.
Amen, amen. It's Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to welcome you back this evening. It is Monday, the 27th of January, 2020. We are in the year of our Lord, 2020, January the 27th. Amen. We thank you for all those who have called in at 646-668-2636. Those who are listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. We see you there on the switchboard, and we appreciate you taking time out your evening and joining us tonight. As always, if you called in, you can press 1 on your keypad and you can join the conversation with us or online. If you go to the Issues Christian Men's Talk on our Facebook page and you want to shoot us some questions or have some insights you wanted to share, you can reach out to us there. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about, we're going to continue. This is, I believe, our part three of a series we've been doing on prayer. The effectual. The requisite the requisite perceptions that God has given us for effectual prayer. These are some of the things that where we have to be in our spiritual life, that God will hear our prayers, that will be effective in our prayers. And our prayer life is in this year, in the beginning of the new year, a lot of folk are into fasting, are doing the year, the first of the year fast and prayer, and setting themselves up for a vision and for purpose. But that's one of the things that caused me to reach out to speak on this category is about prayer and our prayer lives. Has our prayer lives improved since last year? Has our prayer lives improved over our Christian walk? Have we been neglecting in prayer? Have we gotten ourselves into a prayer rut? And are there some characteristics about us that hinder our prayers? Yet we're praying, but yet we may not, we don't seem like our prayers are getting answered. Are we meeting the requisite requirements that God has given for prayer? So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Again, just for an encouragement. As always, I want to share and make sure that I understand that myself and any brothers that I bring on this show, that we are not staying on a pedestal looking over people, but we are shouting and putting on a call to men, call to husbands, fathers, and sons. We want you to encourage you along in this Christian walk. And for some of those who are called and listening and they may be on the fringe, new Christians, new to the faith, just encourage you along the way. Because anyone who told you that coming to Christ and believing in Jesus Christ and submitting yourself to his lordship and becoming a believer is your life is going to be easy. Everything will go your way. God's going to answer all your prayers. And it's all going to be, it's just going to be so much better. And that may not necessarily be true. You're going to be challenged to grow. You're going to be challenged to change. And you're going to be challenged to renew your mind. And when you renew your mind and renew your heart from the inside, the outward things will start to change. Because again, you know, as I always say, brothers and those of you who listen to my program and know me, you know, just because we dress a man up in a suit and a tie and a shirt and we get his socks to match his tie and his handkerchief, that doesn't mean he's saved and that doesn't mean his heart is changed. So we're talking about heart change today, not outward change. Outward change will come in our character, how we treat each other, how we see those around us, how we treat our families, how we treat our wives and our children, and those who are in how we serve in the body of Christ. Do we have the heart of a servant? Amen? Amen. So with that, I'll give a quick review over the last, I did three of these shows. And we talked on different topics that affect our prayer life and having our prayer be effectual and being heard by God. The first one we talked about earlier was insincerity, being sincere in our prayer. That living a life contrary to our prayers, because our sins hinder God from hearing our prayers. So we have to repent from all our known sins. We have to be walking upright, not being as the hypocrite or being in pride when we pray. Our second point we touched upon was humility in prayer. That understanding that prayer is a privilege, that we're praying to the Creator of all things, and He hears and knows our hearts. Anybody who's been saved a while, you know, people who are living, borderline lives always say that God knows our hearts. I said, yes, God does know your heart. This is why Jesus Christ had to die, because he knows the heart of man. Amen? But in humility, we come to him, we come to who God is, and understand who God is. Also, we have to understand about pride, being prideful in our prayers, thinking that God is going to answer all our prayers, somehow we are in a position that we are more than we are and that our prayers are being heard over someone else's prayer. But that's a whole other conversation. Because, again, prayer life, our prayer life is an individual, personal thing. It's a one-on-one thing. Just as we will stand before God and be judged by him as individuals, not by churches, we won't be judged by our titles and names here on earth. I mean, deacons, pastors, elders, ministers, evangelists, whatever your title may be here on earth, but when you stand before God, he's going to hold you accountable for what you know, what you've learned, and your knowledge of him, and how you obeyed him. So we have to be in that place. The next one is repentance. Is a requisite for effective prayer. Repentant. Are we praying with true repentance? Are turning away from God? We are in communion with God. Because repentance leads to confession, and confession leads to repentance. So are we repenting of our sins, of our faults, of our shortcomings? You know, we talk about the sins. You know, we try to give a list of do's and don'ts in Christianity sometimes. We have to move away from that. We have to move away to understand that we were born into sin, that the sin of Adam is on us, and because and Jesus Christ had to die for that sin. And now through our obedience and repentance, we start to live a life according to him, that the Word of God, the Bible, is the blueprint, is the outline for our lives. So are we living that every day in our heart, outwardly and in our heart, and are we repentant? The next point was obedience. Are we servants of righteousness or slaves to sin? Are we obedient? Is Jesus Christ truly your Lord? Is he your Lord in your heart? But again, we understand that we're not perfect here on earth, but we are maturing in the things of God. We're growing in his in Christ's likeness, and that we are submitting ourselves unto him and to his will and to the leading of the Holy Spirit. So are we obedient in our heart? The test of his lordship comes, and he answers our prayers. So are we abiding in him and obeying him? Amen? So tonight, we're going to talk about two topics we're going to touch on tonight. Again, if you called in at 646-668-2636, you can press 1 on your keyboard at any time, join the conversation, ask a question, or share your insights. Tonight, we're going to talk about our faith in God and our faith in his promises. And also we're going to talk about forgiveness, how our unforgiveness for those who have done things to us, for our enemies, for whoever, is unforgiveness in our hearts will hinder our prayers. Amen? So let's start with faith today. We know the Bible says without faith, we cannot please God. Also, to gain and receive from God, we must have faith. I'll get some scriptures here for those of you who are listening online. Give you opportunity to get your pens or paper, take some notes, write your scriptures down for later, and just meditate on them. Again, you know, as I know a lot of people know that as we prepare to have conversations, we let the word start on us individually. And you know, your pastor says all the time when he preaches that his first sermon is for him, and then he brings it to the people. And the same thing is here for me, myself. I have to look at where I'm at in my prayer life. That's really what gave me an unction to have this discussion to encourage the brothers out there. Because I was looking at my prayer life, looking at things that was going on. I was missing some prayer. I'm committed to daily prayer. And for whatever reasons, our jobs, you know, me and another brother were committed to a daily morning prayer. But then some things started happening, jobs and a lot of things started happening. And we were missing that prayer time just together. Like I said, we weren't praying individually because I can pray individually, but then we make a commitment to prayer, and we just sometimes we get into a spiritual haze, a spiritual rut, where we're not praying consistently and we're not seeking God. And I don't mean a long, dramatic prayer. I mean just that prayer where every day we're taking time out with God, we're taking time to hear God, we're taking time to listen to God, and we're taking time to share with God and ask him for his forgiveness and his mercy and his grace and thank him. And that's why it's important for us to pray. Amen. So today I'm going to go real quick. I'm going to go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verses 22. Let's start at verse 22. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And that's our faith. That was Mark chapter 11, 22 to 24. It's our faith. You know, it's funny. When I think back when I first got saved and someone told me about this and they taught this scripture and that our faith, we could move mountains. And then you think about it, you know, just in my mind was you praying that we move in whole mountains. But those things that we're asking for God to do in our life sometimes are the mountains, just the salvation, just to purge us of some things, the way we used to think, the things we used to do, the things that was on our heart, who we were and our character. That's a mountain that needs to be moved. So if we're praying to God, we know and we have faith that God is going to keep his promises and do what he says. We have to have unfathomable faith in Jesus Christ, in his love, in his wisdom, in his power. That we are convinced that God's will be done in our lives and that in the things that happen to us, this goes back to what I was saying earlier. The things that we go through as Christians in our Christian walk, there's a purpose for it all. Again, when you hear people preach about the favor and God's going to bless and all that, you have to read the scripture and understand what was going on in people's lives, but yet their faith did not fail, and they prayed continuously. Understand that God has a plan and a purpose that he's going to get you through some things. Because the real test of our faith and our maturity is what we trusted God with. Did we trust God to bring us through that circumstance? And that's where our faith is, our confidence that God is working in us and through us. And that no matter what's going on around us in our circumstances, if it's your family circumstances, your marriage, you're dealing with financial issues, drug addictions, you're dealing with behaviors, sexual lust, fornication, all of that, do we believe God can deliver us? And are we praying with faith that God, you're going to do something? I share my testimony for those who know me that I had to pray. I had to pray for God to bring me out of some things and out of a lot of stuff that just became my norm, just became your normal behavior. We all were there. We all had it, except for you folk. Now you've been born, you've been in the church your whole life and you never done anything. And, you've been in church with your mother since you were a babe. That's fine. But for the rest of us who had to come to faith after living in the world, living in this culture, and then had to have a renewed mind and a renewed heart, this is the faith we have, knowing that God can change us. And I have the testimony of brothers around me that I know who had to be converted. And by faith, they believed. And by faith, they had to stop doing things and go in places that their lives would change and that God could start to use them, God would deliver them, God would remove those temptations and those things that come at you, those desires of your flesh, and all of that, that God can do it. So we believe, we have confidence in what God can do. So that's where our faith comes in and what it looks like. I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 11. Just wanted to touch on these scriptures a little bit and just help to encourage you to have something to meditate on, to be able to go back and just meditate on for yourself and begin to take some of these principles that I pointed out in the last couple of shows. You can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFarr, and you can listen to the last four or five shows where we talked about these precepts and these prerequisites for prayer to be heard by God, to just encourage you and search the scriptures for yourself, as always, always. Search the scriptures for yourself. Get the knowledge, get the understanding. Because remember, our prayer life and our prayer and our worship life only goes as high and as deep as our knowledge of God. And the only way we can increase our knowledge of God, which is our foundation, is to understand the gospel, know the gospel, and know Jesus Christ as Lord and as our Savior. Amen? Amen. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, and go to 6, verse number 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Earnestly seek him. That's knowing God. That's the foundation. Our foundation has to go deep so that our worship and our prayers can go high. Because you have to understand, when you're talking and speaking to God in prayer, you have faith that he's hearing you, and you have faith that he's working these things out for you. That it may not happen the way you want it, but God is working it out. Because sometimes God does some things in our lives to get us to a place that we cannot see. So again, do we trust God and do we have faith in God? Amen? So all things are possible for those who believe. We as believers, as Christians, as saints, being saved, whatever your metaphor is for it, you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. You believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and paid the price, that you now have eternal life with God, and that you are a child of God, and you are a servant. You are a servant to righteousness, that you're living a life obedient to him and obedient to his will, and that you know his will is in his word, so that we study his word, we're in his word, and that we're living out his word. Amen? So this is what our faith is based on. Our faith is not based on the fantasy and dreams. It's based on the word of God and knowing that the word of God is true. So I encourage you as husbands, fathers, and sons to seek the word of God. Build up your faith that your prayers may not be hindered. Amen? Amen. And one more for in our faith, I'm going to go give you James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. And that we cannot, our faith is based on that we don't doubt God. We believe God. Believe Jesus Christ. Believe the word of God, every word of God. believe it, apply it, meditate on it. Again, this is where our faith is based, that we might, that our prayers might be heard, and be, and our prayers may, and God might manifest itself in our prayer life, that we can go to him in prayer, that we are praying consistently, that we're praying faithfully, that we're praying with humility, that we are going to God and understanding that he, who God is, he's not. You know, we get caught up sometimes, you know, we and sometimes even in our evangelism or in our discipling of others, we want to make God pray for this and he'll answer all your prayers. God may or may not answer your prayers the way he may want, that you might want, but he will answer them. That's in his will. Because you'd be surprised, there's a lot of things and people and things that will happen to us that God can see down the road that is to our benefit and for his perfect will. Because again, we as men and even as Christians, because I know sometimes I have sisters who call in, but yet to understand that God created us for purpose. God didn't just create us because our mother and father got together. He created us and put us on this earth and yet even predestined our salvation because we are called out by him. And even today, for my brothers that are lying, if you are a Christian, God knew. I don't care where it was. I don't care when you got saved. I don't care if it was on the outreach and evangelism in the church, in your parents' bedroom, in a jail, in a wherever. God knew there was going to be a time where he's going to use you. He's going to reach you. He's going to turn your heart and your mind to him. And then you will begin to grow and be used by him. Because remember what I always say to every brother out there and every Christian, there's someone's soul who's dependent on your salvation and your walk, that you, they might see you, that you may speak to them in evangelism. They might see your life change. You're the same people you ran the streets, you did all these things with. They see the transformation of your life, and then they want to say, what must I do to be saved, to live like you? Because I knew who you was before because we did it all together, but now you're different. I see you different. You're consistent in what you're doing, and you live a life up because you believe what you're doing, so you're not doing those things anymore. And that's what we have to be as a body of Christ, as the church, as men of God. This is why we are called to be leaders in the home, in our communities, and in the church. Amen? Amen. I have someone come in on the line here. I'm going to come in. I'm going to bring them in a minute. Hold on. I see you. Your last four numbers are 6367. Grace, peace. How are you? Can you hear me?
Grace and peace. How you doing, Diggins Parr? This is Pastor Larry Watkins. How are you, sir?
I'm wonderful, brother. Good to hear your voice. I pray all is well.
All is well. Thank you, man. It's good to hear your voice as well.
Amen. What do you want to share, bro? We talk about prayer and being and having faith in to be able to, so God can hear us, that our faith is important. What do you say, sir?
I believe our faith is important. And I wanted to go back to that verse in Hebrews that you talked about in Hebrews verse 6. Because there were a couple important things that I wanted to point out in that verse that are essential when it comes to talking about faith, when it comes to prayer. One of the things that it says that it's impossible to please him, but those who come to him must come to him first believing that he is. One of the primary things of faith is that we believe in God and that God is our Father and that he is the one that created us and made us, and that he has the ability to answer our prayers. We have to believe that he is. You're not going to go to somebody and ask them of something when you don't believe that they have the answers that you need. It's like me trying to go to my children and ask them, how should I balance our budget? They have no concept of budgets, but I would go to somebody that is familiar with budgets, that has the information about budgets, and be able then to say, okay, tell me how I need to do this, tell me what mistakes I'm making, and then show me the right way to go about this. The same thing we have to believe with God, and this is the principle of our faith, that God is and that God has the answers, that he is all-knowing, which is omniscience, meaning he knows everything, he knows all about everything, and that he is omniscient, meaning he has all power, he knows everything and has the power to bring things about. So we must go to him believing that he is. The second thing that we need to know is that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, meaning that he has the ability to answer our prayers. He has the ability to give us the things that we need. The Bible says that he is able to provide all of our need according to his riches and glory. So that means that we have to be able to believe in these things. We have to believe that he is, that he can hear our prayers, that he can answer our prayers, and that he has the information that we're looking for. All of these things are the essentials that we have to have faith when it comes to prayer, because if we don't believe in these things, then our prayer is for naught. It's going to go up, it's going to hit the ceiling, and it's going to bounce right back down because we don't believe in the things that we're praying or who we're praying to. These are essentials. What do you think, sir?
Yes, sir. I agree. These are some of the things that this is where we have to be in our prayer life, and this is where we have to be in our mindset, in our character. Because, again, we want God to hear, but, again, we just can't pray haphazardly. And that's the point here, that we sometimes, you know, like, again, we're in the new year. We need to tighten up on our prayer life. Let me just say it like that for every man out there. You have to look at yourself in the mirror. Look at your prayer life. This is why I encourage every brother out there. Do you have a prayer journal? Do you have your prayers from last year? This is January 2020. What were you praying about January 2019? What were you praying about January 2000? You see, because we have to understand. We have to see the miracles of God and understand that it's not instant microwave. That's our biggest thing that we have to get. That's where we have to get spiritually mature as men and as Christians. Stop thinking everything is microwave, you know, and prayer. And a prayer journal, I believe a prayer journal will increase our faith because we can look back and see what we prayed for and see what God has done. If you go back now, for those of us who have prayer journals, if you look at 2019, 2018, 2000, and I don't know how long you might have been saved, things you prayed about, who people you prayed for their salvation, they came through. People you prayed for about, you know, healing of sicknesses. You know, healing of changed minds, the situations in each of our lives and the lives of the people around us. And now when we have a record of saying this is what God has done, that increases our faith. So, you know, I encourage you out there that our faith is in God, and we need to be able to have a record. So when I give a testimony, I share about a prayer or something that happened in my life, I can see what God, he may not have done it in the moment, in the instant. You know, we see the miracles of Jesus Christ, but that in the long run, what is God doing in your life? Because, again, we pray for things we don't necessarily realize that may not be God's will for our life and the time we're praying for it. But that also comes with maturity and being discipled and being reading the word of God for yourself and seeing what God has done. Because he didn't answer all of Israel's prayers right away. There were some prayers that were answered generations down the road in their disobedience. They prayed to be redeemed, to be taken out of slavery, but it took years and generations for God to fulfill that because he had a purpose. Because without the bondage and without the captivity, we wouldn't have a Daniel. We wouldn't have had without the challenges, there wouldn't have been a Moses, a Joseph. You know, so this is why I encourage every person out there who names the name of Christ to read your word and read your word for understanding and knowledge, because that is what's going to give you a deeper foundation that your prayers will go higher and be raised up higher. You need a foundation to go to pray and worship God to the height that he's called you to pray. Amen? Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'm here with my brother, Pastor Larry Watkins, called in. He joined us tonight. And we're talking about prayer. We're talking about the prerequisites of effective prayer in a man's life, in all of our lives, that we will take time out in this early part of 2020 to reflect on our prayer life and where our prayer life is going, where it's been, our successes. Like, again, look back over the last year or two and see where prayer has done and how God has showed up and done some things in our lives. And then thank God for that and then continue to have faith and believe. The next point I want to touch on tonight to encourage the brothers out there is forgiveness. If you don't have forgiveness, this is a biggie. This is a biggie for Christians. This is a biggie for the sinner man. This is a biggie for everybody out there who's listening. Learning to forgive, biblically forgive, and forgive folk. And that's where God is checking our hearts. He's going to look at each of our hearts personally and say, and look and see where we are when it comes to forgiveness. When he brings those enemies, he brings those haters, he brings those people you might argue with, He may bring, you know, some of us out there, we had issues with our parents growing up. So where's our forgiveness? We come to Christ, and can we forgive our parents? Because what I always tell a brother out there, you know, you may be mad at your father, you may be mad at your mother, but you have to understand, some of our parents did the best they could with what they had. You understand what I'm saying? Because we have to think back and just understand it ain't, well, if you're a parent now, you may understand some of that, but if not, even if you, because I know there's adults who still have issues with their parents. And some, to me, this is just me personally, we have to get to a point where we forgive them and then we move on. Because again, we never know what God was doing as we was growing up in our home lives, the things we've seen, the things we went through, whatever it was. It could be good, bad, indifferent. It was okay. Okay, but what was God teaching and learning us for the next generation to come? Because even if your parents was such and that and such and that and this and that, that's fine. So what kind of parent are you going to be? Because that's what I tell brothers. I just got in this conversation with a group of brothers before. It doesn't matter if whatever your father was, even if you didn't know your father, what kind of father are you going to be? The same way he was? Or did you remember the things that how you felt and how you're going to be different to your children? It's as simple as that. And that's what the forgiveness part is about. We have to forgive, and it's a heart condition. And that, and again, if we have unforgiveness in our heart, it's going to hinder our communion with God. You know, because unforgiveness is of the flesh. The flesh wants revenge. The flesh wants what it wants. The flesh wants to be better. But our spiritual side, the spiritual us, which is what we should be led by, the Holy Spirit leading us in our decisions, in our hearts, in our minds, and our mouths, is necessary that God would accept our hear our prayers. Because again, in our prayers, how can we pray and worship God with our mouths and our tongues, and yet cuss and curse other the folk around us, no matter what they've really done to us? That's what biblical and spiritual forgiveness is all about. So we each of us, brothers, each of us have to search our hearts. I had to search my heart on some things and some people, and then look and see them how God sees them. And I'm not going to say, it's again, this is not about an instant microwavable thing. This is about the process of me drawing closer to God, and about us drawing closer to God, that we may start to see people too, as God sees them, and how God and why God has them in our life, put them in our life, or still has them in our life. So we have to. That's something each of us has to look in the mirror and ask ourselves and pray about. But Pastor Watkins, what do you say, sir? Importance of forgiveness when it comes to prayer.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, Deke. It's important, and I've said this many times, that when we don't forgive someone, when we have unforgiveness in our hearts, when we see them, we don't see them for who they are, but we see them for what they've done to us. So I am now looking at you through the veil of the pain that you caused me, and I no longer see you. I only see what you did to me. In order for me to truly see you and to be able to pray for you, I have to now forgive you so that I can remove that thing that was there. And forgiveness is as if it did not happen, and see you for who you are. That's the first thing. The second thing is that unforgiveness is the one thing that can block us or block our prayers, that will cause them not to be heard or not to be answered. The Bible says that if you're praying and you have aught against somebody, that you're supposed to stop what you're doing and go and settle that issue. Get up from where you are, stop praying, go talk to that person, settle that issue. And if you can't settle that issue, then you need to get the elders of the church to come together to help you to settle that issue, so that we can get this unforgiveness, this thing that may cause a root of bitterness in our hearts that can hinder our prayers, that can hinder us from being able to be heard. The third thing is that the same thing that we judge others by is the same thing that we're going to be judged. So if we harbor unforgiveness in our hearts, if we harbor aught against somebody, or we harbor something against somebody and we are angry with what they did to us, and we can only see what they did to us, then that's the same way God is going to judge us. The Bible says, judge not, lest you be judged, for the same thing that you, the same standard that which you judge will be used to judge you. Meaning that if I don't forgive, then I'm not going to be forgiven. If I don't forgive you, then it's going to be hard for God to forgive me. If I don't reconcile with you, then how is God going to be able to reconcile with me? These are things that are essential when we come to think about prayer, that we must forgive. We must understand that God forgives us, and then we have to see people for who they are. And in order to do that, we have to forgive them, because we no longer see them through our pain, but for who they are. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. You're absolutely correct. And this is important. And let me say this for the brothers out there listening. This is mostly important. This right now, if you're a married man, if you are a married man, this forgiveness piece is something that, it can fix your marriage today. What time is it? It's 8:30, 8:30, 40, what is it? Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me get my clock out. It's 8:36 p.m. on the 27th of January 2020. Forgiveness right now, if you allow forgiveness to come into your marriage, whatever the issue is, it can change right now in a moment. You can go before God and pray. But can we do that? Can we fix our relationships? Can we do that in the moment? Understand that God gives us, forgive me. Forgive me, and God, I pray forgiveness of my wife, and let's fix the marriages. Because this is where it starts. Again, a Christian man, a man of God, it all starts in your home. I've said it before, and I say it a lot. You know, we are not the thermometers, we're the thermostat. We have to set the temperature. We have to set the vision. We have to set the atmosphere in our homes. So if we have an atmosphere of forgiveness with our spouse, and there's some of those wives who snuck in on the line here, forgiveness is the start. I say that as a testimony in my own marriage, forgiveness. That can be the thing that can start the healing. Because again, because God forgave us, he sent his son. Even when we were yet still sinners, he sent his son until we came to the knowledge, the understanding. So it's the same thing how we treat those around us. Forgiveness can start the healing process. For fathers out there, for the wayward, for the prodigal, it starts with forgiveness. If you read the parable, that father, he didn't have to forgive, because it's his son who had to forgive himself to be able to come back to his father. And then the unforgiveness that was in the older brother who stayed. I mean, this is why I say you got to read the scriptures for yourself to study them. But forgiveness, if we see it where it is and how it can, how it's powerful. But with unforgiveness, we can't hear and receive anything from God. It hinders our prayers because we have to forgive others. It's a critical test of our spiritual maturity, our faith. Again, where do we see Christ? What is our knowledge and understanding of the things of Christ? We ought to be Christ-like, and Christ forgave. By grace, he forgave. Amen? So as Christians, we're obligated to forgive even our enemies. For those out there taking notes and those I want to share, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 and chapter 6. The whole thing, both chapters, meditate, look at them. But I'm going to take you to 5 right now because I'm going to go a bullet point here. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Well, man, I'm going to start at verse 43. Matthew 5, starting at verse 43. Those of you out there may be taking notes, you can meditate on this. You have heard that it is said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you might be the children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and send rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that. Amen? So be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Pray for our enemies. Again, you know, if we look at that scripture, You know, God provides for the believer and the unbeliever, but yet, in the midst of it all, you know, God is not punishing sinners right now. God is, God gives the sinner the air, just like he gives the church the air. The church breathes, the church has a heartbeat, the sinner man is still breathing air, has a heartbeat, making money, got jobs, having success, because God is raining on the righteous and the unrighteous, but yet, what are we doing in our unforgiveness? Are we forgiving our enemies? Are we yet waiting? Are we letting God be the judge? I know Pastor Watkins said it earlier. You know, are we judging people out of our whatever, our attitudes, out of our pride? But, you know, we just got to love people. And that's what unforgiveness really is. It's an act of love. It's love. And that's what we are called as Christians, to show love even to the unbeliever, show love to our enemies, to show love to all in the church, even the church, the body of Christ. You know, again, I always like to go to the New Testament because Paul had to write letters to these churches because they had some stuff going on. Trust me, you know, Paul had to write back to those churches because he went on his missionary journeys. He planted churches, put leaders in place. He saved people, but he had to write back letters to them. If you read those letters, it's about he was correcting them in love. He was hearing things about them. So what are you doing right now, every man out there? Let me just ask you this. Being a man of God, what things in your life right now are ungodly? That these would not be things you would have thought about doing the first 2 years you were saved, or the first 3, 4, 5 years when you was on fire for God and you was memorizing scriptures and quoting scriptures and serving in the church and going out in the neighborhood and handing out tracts. But now your life, you got some stuff in your life you just, you know, take for granted. You have gotten yourself into a rut, the stuff you don't worry about. But again, we're in January of 2020. It's the time for us to start, and that starts with prayer and starting to get ourselves and our hearts right, that we can pray and hear God, and God's going to speak to us. What do you say, Elder Watkins? Are you still with me?
I am with you, Deacon, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. One of the things that I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying is that we need to not be afraid to admit where we have shortcomings in our lives. You know, one of the things that's hard for men is to admit when we don't have it all together, when we have all the answers, when we have areas where we know we come up short, but we don't want to admit it to ourselves. We don't want to admit it definitely to others. And we don't want to admit it to God, but we need to have that self-examination where we look at ourselves and see ourselves and see the areas where we need to work on and see the areas where we need to help. The Bible, it talks about a man who brought his son to God, to the Jesus' disciples. And he talks about him throwing himself into the fire and sometimes into the water. And he said, I brought him to your disciples, and they weren't able to heal him. And he says, now I bring him to you. And Jesus said, do you believe he can be healed? And the man said something that was interesting. He said, yes, I believe, but help my unbelief. And I pondered on that thing. I mean, what does that mean? It means, yes, I believe to a certain extent, but there are areas where I'm having trouble believing because my faith is a little bit waning, or I'm having trouble understanding what's going on. Help me to understand, or help me to believe a little better. And sometimes we need to admit where we have our shortcomings. I'm trying to pray, but I can't seem to stay there for very long. I fall asleep when I pray. I'm having trouble believing God. I'm having trouble because I can't see it. I can't feel it. I can't find it anywhere. I'm having trouble. I don't know all of God's word, so it's hard for me to believe God's word if I don't know his word. I'm having trouble forgiving. I understand I'm supposed to love everybody, but for what they did to me, I'm having trouble trying to love them. There's no problem with admitting these things. It's just that we have to admit them to ourselves and then try and move on from them, trying to get understanding, trying to get the information so that we can overcome these obstacles in our lives and get a better prayer life, get a better faith life, and be able to forgive. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. And that's true. That's part of our transparency. And that's why I said it before and I'll repeat it. I mean, if you're not part of a local body, first of all, let me say this. You have every Christian man, if you claim the name of Christ, should be part of a local church. And with that, for my pastors, elders, and deacons out there, how are we ministering to men? How are we ministering to the needs of men? How are we ministering and discipling and mentoring men within the body of Christ? I understand a lot of churches have a lot of programs, a lot of things, a lot of outreaches, but what are we doing to reach husbands, fathers, and sons, that they can be better, that their homes can be better? And, you know, I said this a long time ago when I started Issues Christian Men's Talk. If we could minister to the husbands and fathers, pastors wouldn't have to spend most of it, a lot of time in counseling. If we would mentor and disciple, I think mentor and disciple should come before counseling, but that's just me. I'm just a guy. I'm from the Bronx. I'm not, you know, I'm not a theological theologian-y person. Anyway, but I just want to encourage out there. We have to, as men of God, we have to be part of a local body, have some people in our circle, be connected with some godly people, some people who believe the word of God and live in the God, word of God. Because we have to have godly examples and be godly examples for those around us. Understand that we're not in the church, in the body of Christ. We're not in competition. We're not comparing ourselves to each other. We compare ourselves to the word of God. And as men, we all are striving for the same thing and for the same goal, to stand before Christ and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." From your pastor, your district elder, your bishop, your whatever, if he's a Bible-believing man of God, God's going to judge him. He has a greater responsibility here on earth, which is fine. But we understand you, each of us, me, Brother Larry, those who are listening on the line, you have a responsibility and a purpose that God created you for, and that's what he's going to hold you to. If God comes back today or comes back tomorrow, for those who just may got saved in the last year, got saved in the New Year's service, got saved this during the fast, you know, that's fine. But God's going to hold you accountable to right where you are. He's not going to test you on what – he's not going to – let me say that, test you. But he's not going to hold you accountable the same thing he's going to hold your pastor accountable for. But as a man of faith, we have to understand God's going to hold us accountable. So today, again, I say it's 8:47. p.m. on the 27th of January. Increase our faith. Forgiveness in our relationships, where we need to find healing. Find, again, being part of a church body, being having a circle around you. Every man needs at least, every man that's listening, I pray that you have at least 3 Bible-believing, strong brothers around you. Not the brothers you get along with and talk about football, baseball, basketball, and stuff about. But you have 3 strong men you can go to. And understand this, and let me say this too, to be clear. It doesn't necessarily have to be a pastor, a deacon, or elder. Because everybody's not called for those roles in the church. But do you have men around you who are Bible-believing, God-fearing, husbands who are living by the word, fathers who are living by the word, whose lives reflect their faith around you that you can go to? And as Pastor Watkins was saying earlier, it's important that we be transparent, because our faults will hinder us. Our pride will kill us. If we're struggling and we don't have nobody to talk to, nobody to release from, I'm struggling with my marriage, I'm struggling with my wife, but I have nobody that's going. Nobody's going to give me godly counsel. No one that's going to hear me and not judge me, because that's what the scripture is saying. And then you have to know who to go to. And the only way you're gonna know that is through the fellowship and being connected with folks. Because you definitely don't want to go to nobody and talk about marriage with somebody who's struggling in their marriage. You want to find somebody who's on the other side of the struggle. And no matter what it is, if you're single, the single brothers out there, you talk to somebody who's been able to hold it to live a life of sexual integrity. If that's the thing that you're being challenged on. Because trust me, this sexual drive can push a man, that'll push a man off a cliff. But that's a whole nother show. Amen? Amen. You can listen to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8 p.m., on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. Also, we started to go back live. We started to go back into the television studio, and we're still to put some shows together. We're in post-production. So when we launch them, we're going to be launching a Facebook channel. We're going to be launching them on YouTube, on a YouTube channel, on the YouTube page, Issues Christian Men's Talk on YouTube. Also on Facebook, Issues Christian Men's Talk, and also on Twitter, at Issues Men's Talk on Twitter. So in 2020, we're going to expand a little bit. We're going to put some video together. We had some brothers come into the studio. Brother Watkins was in a couple of sessions. We had some other men of God come in and talking on some subjects. So we're going to look for that. And once we get it, if you're on the Facebook page, it'll be the first place. It'll be premiered on Facebook. And then after that, we'll have the links set up for the YouTube. And I pray you will share it. I pray you'll be encouraged by it. As always, elders, deacons, those who are listening, we invite you. Reach out to us. Reach out to us on Facebook. Come into this television studio with us and share your insight, share the wisdom. Be part of the discussion because we want to reach the men in the body of Christ. We want to get those brothers off of the fringe, off the back row, on the fence, and get them into the full calling of what God saved them for, what God created them for. Amen. Pastor Watkins, brother, I thank you again for taking time out your Monday night to come and join us and share your wisdom. And I appreciate it if you would close us out. And I thank you again, brother.
Deacon, I thank you for the opportunity. Always a pleasure. And I always applaud you, man, for the things that you're doing, for how you are ministering to men, how you're out here being an advocate for men, and all the stuff that you do to promote men's ministry. I applaud you, and I pray God's strength for you. As we close out, let us pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, how we love and adore you, how we appreciate you, God, for all that you do for us. We thank you, Lord God, that you are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. So today, Lord God, as we sit here and listen to this message, as we sit here and receive from you, Lord God, we pray, number one, that you would allow this word to take root in our heart, that we might be able to hear it, that it might grow and help us to bring forth fruit. We ask, Lord God, that you would help us to believe, Lord God, that you are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you, that we have the faith to believe that you can do all things and that if we speak to the mountain, that the mountain will be removed, whatever that mountain is in our life. We ask, Lord God, that you would do it. Now, for all of us, Lord God, that are struggling with issues, that are struggling with forgiveness, that have ought against a brother, Lord God, we pray now, Lord God, that you would move upon our hearts, that you would allow compassion, Lord God, to take over, and that you would allow us to begin to forgive them for what they did, that we would no longer see them for what they did to us, but for who they are, that we would look past the veil of our pain, that we would look past the veil of our disappointment, that we would look past the covers that block our eyes from seeing anybody or anyone that did anything to us, and that we can now forgive them. Help us, Lord, to move forward from this point. For every injury, for every wound, for every hurt, Lord God, we pray healing right now in the name of Jesus, that you would pour in the wine that disinfects the wound, Lord God, and then pour in the oil that heals. We thank you now, and we glorify you. Deacon Farr, we thank you for his diligence and his faith and his pressing forward. We ask now, God, that you would restore to him all that has gone out of him now in Jesus' name. Thank you. Bless us and be with us until we can come together again. We thank you now in Jesus' name. We give you glory and honor and praise for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen.
I wonder how I will make it.
I will make it through.
Oh God, but I trust you. Sometimes the pain in my life, oh God, it makes you seem so far away. Can I get a witness, somebody? But God, I trust you.
I need to know you're here.
Through the tears.
Through the tears and the pain. Through the heartache and rain.
Anybody ever had to cry late in the midnight hour? Every tear you've had to cry.
Through the
heartache and rain. Come on, take it up. Through the tears. Oh, that's right, through the heartache. Listen, somebody's going through something right now, and the devil's trying to convince you that there's no way you can make it out, and he says you're not going to be able to get out of this situation, but I wish somebody would make the devil out of a lie right now and lift your hands and say, God, I will trust you. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know when you're going to show up. But God, I know you're going to do it. God, I know you're going to bring me out. Come on, bless you.